Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the world marks 2 years since the Hamas attacks of October 7th, indirect talks between Hamas and Israel have begun in Egypt on ending the war in Gaza. The government shutdown affecting millions of us, but mostly hurting federal workers who aren't getting paid, including those who scan luggage and direct planes and air traffic control towers, as the fight in Washington drags on.
The staffing shortages triggering delays at major airports across the country, including Newark, Denver, and Phoenix. Smaller airports could also be affected. The Transportation Department says funds for the program that allows air carriers to service rural areas will expire next week.
ABC's Morgan Norwood. The Vatican has announced Pope Leo's first trip. He will travel to Turkey and Lebanon at the end of November. The Nobel Prize in Physics has been handed out to two researchers studying quantum mechanical tunneling. This is ABC News.
From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. This week is Fire Prevention Week. The National Fire Protection Association set the theme as Charge into Fire Safety, Lithium-Ion Batteries in Your Home. Most of the modern electronics in our homes are powered by lithium-ion batteries. Everything from smartphones and tablets to power and lawn tools to e-cigarettes, laptops, headphones, and toys. Oshkosh Fire Chief Tim Hyman says while most lithium-ion batteries are used safely, there have been reports of fires and explosions involving the batteries in recent years.
But basically, any damage to that battery can cause what we call a thermal runaway, where basically that battery starts to self-heat, has a reaction, and despite whatever actions we may take, like putting water on it, doesn't really stop that thermal runaway, and it keeps heating and heating and heating, and basically there's an explosion or fire that can result.
Hyman says not to overcharge batteries. Always use the cables that come with the product. Charge on a hard surface and make sure to dispose of or recycle batteries correctly. Lithium-ion batteries aside, Hyman said the most critical thing for fire prevention and safety is a working smoke detector.
I cannot stress how important those are, and based on real life outcomes where we show up, and if you have working smoke detectors that have alerted you to get out versus the homes we go to that don't have working smoke detectors, we see dramatically different outcomes.
Learn more about Fire Prevention Week in our story at WISS.FM. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it was the bottom of the first. The Brewers already losing to the Cubs 3-0 when Andrew Vaughn came to the plate. Two men on, coverage on TBS.
And it's a high fly ball to left field. Happ underneath it, in front of the wall. This ball's gone! Andrew Vaughn ties the game with one swing. He's done it again.
The Brewers went on to win 7-3. Vaughn on what led to his 3-run home run.
You know, William gets a huge hit. Yelly gets a huge hit. You know, I was just trying to keep the momentum going. You know, have a team at bat there. Definitely a big moment. The momentum swing, that was huge.
Game 3 is tomorrow afternoon at 4:08 at Wrigley Field. NBA, the Bucks with a 103-93 win over the Heat in Miami. But guard Cole Anthony had to leave the game after getting stitches in his chin.
Yeah, he's good. It was a deep cut, but he's good. I told him when you play defense, this stuff happens.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Aaron Air. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today with highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, clear skies with lows in the upper 30s. On Wednesday, sunny skies again, a little bit cooler, Still comfortable, though, with high temperatures right around 60. Right now, it's 51.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No one knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Homeless veterans are facing a crisis in Chippewa Falls, and Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch will be here to tell us a solution on the horizon and the Brewers results and more. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, live from Dallas, he's not wearing a cowboy hat, though I'm a little upset about that. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Going to take care of that later on with a visit to the stockyards in Fort Worth here. Hey, good morning, Wisconsin. 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, October 7th. It is another beautiful morning up north. At least I'm taking it on faith that it is a little cooler than when I left. But again, on the road in Texas this week, thank you for tuning in from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all the other various platforms out there. I've got a question for you. Are you as grateful to Jack Centurio as I am for allowing me to go to bed at a decent hour last night? Because that home run, putting the Brewers up 7-3 over the Cubs, said that Parker and I could get a decent night's sleep tonight and not have to stay up for the whole thing. Right, Parker? Right, Parker? You didn't stay up for the whole game, did you, Parker?
Certainly not. Why would a person do that?
because it was a fun game to watch, wasn't it?
It was a very fun game. It was a very happy game. I love beating Craig Counsell.
It is so good. Tony right away on YouTube. Hey there, hi there, ho there. How about them Brewers? I'm glad that we've given Tony one team to cheer for now. Nothing against Cleveland, but he's with us full time now on the bandwagon. That's a beautiful thing, you know. It was a lot of fun to watch. But again, not in the very beginning, because that seems to be our move now. It's become the obligatory spotting of the Cubs a lead in the top of the first. And frankly, I got to give credit to Sherry. She nails this. You know, she said it on Saturday and again last night. She's like, that's how we play our best, it seems, is when we're chasing something. You have to chase a lead down. And we certainly did it, bigly on Saturday. And we sure did it again this time. Like how I put we in there? We did this?
Of course.
So, the Cubs jump off to a three-run lead in the opening frame. Aaron Ashby was the opener and gave up that three-run homer. And, it was a bullpen game because Brandon Woodruff is out with an injury. But after that three-run homer, you turn things over to Nick Mears, Jacob Mizorowski, Chad Patrick, Jared Kinnig, Trevor McGill, and Abner Uribe. They combined for 7 1/3 innings of shutout ball in which they allowed one hit. One. It was just a stellar job.
I think three total base runners and all of that came from Miz, I'm pretty sure.
And Mizorowski, again, there was some drama there. He came on in the third. He threw three scoreless innings to earn the win. He hit at least 100 miles an hour on 31 of his 57 pitches. And each of his first eight pitches went at least 102.6 miles an hour and topped out at 104.3. I mean, we're all sitting there in the living room watching this, and we're like, that was 102. That was 103. That was 104. It was back down to 102 again, you know. He ended the third inning with an unassisted put out of a ground ball, which at first kind of looked like he was showboating, but then he confirmed after the game what we all suspected. He wasn't hitting the strike zone every time,
yeah,
obviously. And he was a little paranoid of overthrowing Andrew Vaughn over there at first base. And so he decided to run to the base himself, which
as he should have.
If I were in his large shoes, I probably would do as well, because I think we've just gotten used to the notion that he throws this heat, but he still, I mean, he's just like in the movie Major League, you know, he can't always control where that heat's going to go.
No, his command can get a little wild. They keep talking about how his problem is he falls off the mound towards the first base side.
That's
been
heard
the
that.
Issue
yeah.
the whole time with him. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just am baffled that we know exactly what the issue is, and you can literally see the issue, and it hasn't quite been solved. But last night he was pretty good. He had his command in control.
Enough to get, again, three scoreless innings, which, yeah. Look, if he were doing that as a starter, we'd be like, why is he only going three innings again as a starter? That's why I think we've probably found where he will perform best for now.
Maybe. I don't know about... We'll get there when we get there. I don't know if I would want him out of the bullpen next year. I don't think he's quite what I envision a long relief guy being. But...
Oh, he's nothing like what you envision a long relief, but he's getting it done right now, like you said.
Yeah.
For what we need in front of us, that's okay. And now, again, all that praise to the bullpen. Let's take nothing away from the bats. I mean, Andrew Vaughn tying things up with a three-run homer in the bottom of the first inning.
Finally getting another home run. It had been electric. Like a month or so.
And I never thought that thing was going over the fence because he hit it a mile high.
It was a moon
and yet
ball.
It went out. And then, again, as I mentioned, Jackson Chourio hitting his own three-run homer, which kind of, you know, sealed the deal for me. But there was also a William Contreras solo shot. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe all seven runs came on home runs. Yes, mm-hmm. that makes sense. That checks out. Compared to game one, where the Brewers scored nine runs and none of them were on home runs. So you never know what you're going to get from this team.
Get it done any way you want.
Which is now just one win away from a trip to the National League Championship Series. So up two games to none. It is a best 3-5. They're off today as they move the series to Wrigley Field. And so game three will be held tomorrow afternoon. Pre-game coverage will begin at 3:30 on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network with the first pitch just a little bit after 4:00. Again, catch it on the radio. If you've got to catch it on TBS, that's fine. But I don't know the announcers, and I miss Brian Anderson. I don't want this generic network talk, you know, Ron Darling, you know, giving you the equivalent of, yep, he really does have to throw the ball fast to, you know, make the batter strike out.
Yeah.
Really, Ron? Okay. Thanks for that amazing insight. It sounded a lot like that last night.
That's why they call you the league's best color man, right?
Right. So if you are in a position to sync up your radio and TV, listen to the local announcers if you can. Look, I mean, we thought we were kind of thinking this might be rather disastrous when Brandon Woodruff went down. I'm not going to lie. That's certainly what I was thinking. Like, oh, well, thanks for playing, guys. You know, maybe next year, but.
So far so good. I wasn't quite there because there are so many good starting pitchers. Frankly, mm-hmm. I'm still not happy with how we approached the game pitching wise last night. Mm-hmm. I don't entirely understand why we went with a bullpen game instead of putting out Priester or Patrick or Quintana, but I mean, I think pretty much everybody's available tomorrow, so I can't really argue with this.
No. Once you've seen the results, you go, oh, hey, in hindsight, that was genius.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I wondered the same thing too. Like, well, why wouldn't you just bump your other starters up? But I suppose whatever it is, so many days rest or the matchup with the Cubs. But speaking of the Cubs, those cutaways to Craig Counsell and And again, Craig Counsell still has many, many friends and fans in the Milwaukee area. I get that, you know, hometown kid, blah, 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 blah. The boos that rained down upon him during his mound visits were, how do I put this, delicious. I mean, just so good.
It was the loudest I think it's ever been booing him, which made my day.
And you know what? If as he's walking out there, he's going, well, the paycheck's still cash, you know, then good on him, because that's why he did it. He's the highest paid manager. Or I don't know if he still is, but he certainly was at the time. So, again, that's his decision to do that, and it's our decision to let him know what we think about it. But it was a good crowd, obviously, with the playoffs, but I kind of wondered with a late start, you know, whether the crowd would really be into it. And I realize not everybody goes to bed as early as Grandpa over here. But still, you know, an 8 o'clock start is something relatively rare here in the Midwest. So
yeah, it is. That was very late.
Yeah. And tomorrow at Wrigley Field, well, I mean, that's going to be a different matter. You certainly did hear Cubs fans, you know, especially in the top of the first last night.
They were
there. But It's not as prevalent as it used to be, where, I mean, it used to be that American Family Field, Miller Park before that, I mean, really did sound like Wrigleyville North, you know, and you didn't have nearly as many Cubs fans down at Wrigley. But this year definitely felt different. It definitely feels like more Brewers fans will make the trek down to the north side of Chicago and cheer for the Brewers at Wrigley. And I expect a fair share of them will be there tomorrow afternoon as well.
Yeah, I would think so. I think I read that yesterday, coming into the game, the beat writers were saying if the game one was like a 70-30 split, this is like an 80-20 split, if like Brewers really showed up. But yeah, I get the feeling that the Brewers will travel down to Wrigley pretty well. They usually do fairly well, I think. And now you really got something on the line. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a chance to move on to the National League Championship Series without a doubt. So a lot to watch for there, of course. So we'll have more to say about the Brewers Game 2 victory coming up throughout the morning, throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then coming up across the program today, well, it's Tuesday. That means we'll have what I guess you could call our capital to capital block, where we start in the nation's capital and talk to Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. He'll join us live to talk about the shutdown and what is he seeing as he, you know, works across Capitol Hill. Remember last week before the shutdown, we talked to him and he was in a relatively empty building there for the House of Representatives. Republicans showing no sense of urgency in preventing the shutdown. We'll see how things are looking right now. Both sides appear to be dug in. Both sides appear to be, the Trump administration and congressional Republicans seem to be dug in on inflicting a maximum amount of pain. That includes Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy talking about upcoming delays in air travel being likely. You'd think he'd want to avoid that, since it was delays in air travel that led Trump to blink the last time that he shut down the government. There's also talk about preparing a big bailout for farmers, because of course you've also got, on top of the government shutdown, a trade war that the president started last time around. It cost American taxpayers about $20 billion to protect farmers from Trump's tariffs. This time around, Republicans are talking about maybe a $50 billion bailout. You know, just, weren't these the guys that didn't like driving up the national debt? But apparently that's what they are willing to do in this at this point. So we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from up in Lincoln County, about that. He'll be joined by Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association on some much happier news about agriculture, a sliver of the agricultural industry in Wisconsin, and that would be apples. The apple harvest is in, looking good. There's so many different varieties, and Sheila's going to talk to us all about the things that you can do with Wisconsin apples, all the right varieties for the right dishes. Oh, let me back up a step. I got to talking about the shutdown. Yes, we'll talk to Cam Stevenson in the nation's capital. What's new at the state capital? We'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area all about that as he follows Wisconsin political news for us. But coming up next, we're going to talk about the latest Republican attacks on free and fair elections. And Ron Johnson shocked that he was investigated for his role in potentially overturning the 2020 presidential election. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in a bit.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
Imagine if you could obliterate all the mental blocks that hold you back. Too good to be true, right? David and Gina of Workwell Hypnosis help their clients leave bad habits, self-doubt, and internal turmoil behind. They cover a large number of common issues: smoking, overeating, work-life balance, low self-esteem, virtually anything holding you back. Workwell Hypnosis can unlock a better version of you. Transform your mind and your life. Get to workwellhypnosis.com to schedule a quick, easy call to learn more. Your future looks incredible.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Powered by friendship, fun, and manager Murph's Pocket Pancakes, the Milwaukee Brewers have a new franchise regular season record of 97 wins. Congratulations.
Unreal.
Now it's on to the postseason.
The summer of Sal, maybe the fall of Freeland.
Catch all the action on your station for the Brewers in October. 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, WISS.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We could do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back. It is a little chilly up north on this Tuesday morning, October 7th. Ooh, October 7th, before I forget. Happy birthday, Mom. There we go. Won't be in the doghouse today. It is 32 degrees right now in Hayward, in Manitowish Waters, and in Tomahawk. It's 45 in the Chippewa Valley, 48 in La Crosse, 43 in Wisconsin Rapids, and the warm spot across Wisconsin. Basically, the entire southeast corner is hovering around 55 degrees right now. Tomorrow on the program, while I'm here in Texas, I'm going to be talking to a member of a group that fights for fair funding for public schools threatened by the explosive growth of taxpayer-funded vouchers for private schools. It's a big, growing problem in Wisconsin. It's a much bigger problem here in Texas, where I guess everything is supposedly bigger, including the crisis facing public schools. And so we'll talk to a member of a national education group about what lessons from Texas can we take to Wisconsin. Also tomorrow, we'll talk to Chuck Collins from Patriotic Millionaires and his new book about how concentrated wealth and power are ruining lives and the planet. But let's take a couple of minutes here to talk about the latest attacks on free elections in the United States, because despite still no evidence of widespread election fraud and a constant stream of legal rulings that affirm voting rights, far-right extremists are not giving up trying to make voting more difficult in Wisconsin. I got three examples for you. There's the Waukesha County judge. Yes, Waukesha County, who just ordered the Wisconsin Elections Commission to check the citizenship status of millions of people on the voter registration rolls. A massive undertaking with no clear method, much less any evidence of its necessity. The State Department of Justice is asking the judge to put the order on hold for the moment to figure out what it would mean and how to go about verifying the citizenship of 3.6 million registered Wisconsin voters before the next election in February, as ordered by Waukesha County Judge Michael Maxwell. Now, such a move, according to State Attorney General Josh Call, would require a massive overhaul of the state's voter registration system and create new verification requirements that are not otherwise provided for in state law. And further, the judge doesn't explain what it would entail to verify that an applicant to register to vote is a U.S. citizen. For example, do you check someone against a driver's license database? Well, what if they don't drive? None of this is spelled out because none of it is necessary. There's no mechanism for this because it's a solution in search of a problem. It is a thinly, oh, so thinly veiled effort to engage in racial profiling of American voters who don't look like, say, typical voters in Waukesha County. Frankly, it's sick. And we'll see how this goes during what will certainly be an appeals process. Example number two, there are some Republican legislators once again circulating a bill that would again ban absentee ballot drop boxes, which, again, have shown no security concerns. The eight Republicans behind the bill are using language similar to President Trump in their co-sponsorship memo, saying that Wisconsin voters deserve to have trust in the mechanisms and processes that our state employs in conducting its elections. Yeah, and we have that now. We've had that with ballot drop boxes that had been supported by Republicans as well as Democrats in the past, until Donald Trump tried to overturn his 2020 election loss and blamed drop boxes and mail-in voting despite no evidence. In fact, the closest thing we have to an issue with a drop box in Wisconsin is from a drop box opponent, the mayor of Wausau, who you'll recall removed a box outside of City Hall that was not yet in use for the 2024 presidential election. And then third, we have Senator Ron Johnson and a story coming out yesterday as he cries out about being investigated for his contributions that were intended to undermine the 2020 election results. Now, according to a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Republican senators said yesterday that they had discovered that Ron Johnson and six other senators' phone data was obtained by the FBI as special counsel Jack Smith investigated the efforts to overturn the election. Johnson and the others expressed shock. Shock, I tell you, with Johnson saying, "We were surveilled simply for being Republicans." No, you weren't. You were rightly investigated for helping the guy who lost the election try to undermine or even overturn its results. You can't hide what the record shows, and the record shows that you would have been, Ron Johnson, moments away from being a mule delivering fraudulent ballots from fake electors if only Vice President Mike Pence had gone along with the plot. And just a couple of weeks prior to that, you, Senator Johnson, were holding hearings so that all manner of conspiracy theorists could trot out claims, all without evidence. You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew exactly what Trump and his cronies were doing. And now you have the audacity to feign outrage. Well, let's be clear about something. It will never not enrage me that we have the pieces in place to hold accountable the people who tried to overturn an election, basically stage a coup. And for various reasons, they got away with it. And they got back in power. And they're still getting away with activities that undermine American democracy. It just leads you to wonder, what does it say about a party that is so afraid of election outcomes that it will stop at nothing to put up roadblocks to voting? It should be the thing that anybody engaged in public service wants to encourage, especially when you have a system that already has the guardrails in place for elections to be secure and safe for every qualified voter. But there are too many people in our political system today who don't want every qualified voter to vote, just the ones that they choose. On the way, we are going to have today's history lesson, including John Cougar, or John Mellencamp, or John Cougar, whatever he's going by. It's his birthday today. That and more in today's history lesson coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. 44 employees of Action Printing in Fond du Lac are now looking for new jobs. According to a WARN notice filed with the state, the company is permanently closing its facility on Rolling Meadows Drive. Layoffs and terminations began in August. They will continue in phases through October 31st. The Wisconsin Realtors Association has released its August real estate report, showing another increase in median home prices. According to the report, the statewide median home price rose by over 5% since August of 2024 to $338,000. The report also found a nearly 2% increase in existing home sales compared to last year, and about a 1% increase in year-to-date home sales. Organization officials say the data in the report could indicate a market shift that could benefit first-time home buyers. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers signed a bipartisan bill into law on Friday in an effort to crack down on potential misuse of artificial intelligence. Wisconsin Act 34 targets the use of artificial intelligence to create or share explicit photos of a person generated without their consent. The law specifically defines synthetic intimate representation, prohibits publishing an artificially generated representation of an identifiable person with the intent to harass or intimidate them, and expands the crime of representations depicting nudity. Here's something fun for your day. It's October 7th, which means it's National Taco Day on a Taco Tuesday. Your favorite Mexican restaurant, food truck, or taco place may be offering specials as a way to celebrate. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been said that nothing good happens after midnight, even when something might seem harmless, like doing wind sprints behind a bar at 12:30 a.m. Former Jets quarterback and Fox News analyst Mark Sanchez was doing just that after several drinks, apparently, early Saturday morning. It led to a physical altercation with a much older man, which is still under investigation. It was first reported that Sanchez was in critical condition with stab wounds, but now it's come out that he might have been the instigator of the incident that involved a 69-year-old grease truck driver. According to security tapes, both men, despite getting physical, were trying to record each other with their phones. Authorities say Sanchez body slammed the man to the ground and beat him up a bit before being stabbed two or three times, at which point Sanchez ran off. Mark Sanchez was arrested while recovering in the hospital, but has since been released. More details are sure to follow with this strange incident. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today, with highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, clear skies with lows in the upper 30s. On Wednesday, sunny skies again, a little bit cooler. Still comfortable, though, with high temperatures right around 60. Right now, it's 51.
Ahoy, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. that when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers, how are they faring? The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Start today's history lesson with happy birthday greetings to John Mellencamp, 74 years old today, the pride of Seymour, Indiana. Not a bad record, pun intended, for Johnny Cougar Mellencamp. 14 top 20 hits, 30 million albums sold in the U.S., 60 million albums sold worldwide, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame. And 74 years old today, you know, not one of those who burned himself out too soon and is still out there kind of telling it like it is in his own way. A lot of Midwestern sense and sensibility going out there from John Cougar. Well, I haven't heard from in a while, but I don't doubt he's probably still performing out there or getting ready to never know when the next thing is coming along next.
No, you never do. It's hard to tell with musicians if they're just going to be like, you know what, that was enough, I'm done. Or if they are going to go on forever and ever and ever.
and some, like our next birthday celebrant here, according to stories, I mean, could have been doing a lot more, but some people don't manage their money very well or their fame. And, you know, next thing you know, you don't hear from them quite as often. And one of those would be Toni Braxton, who is 57 years old today. I did the math wrong. She is 58 years old today, Toni Braxton. On this day in 1913, the Ford Motor Company introduced the first moving vehicle assembly line, which started a whole generation of people who did one thing and did it well. And then you'd ask them, what's at the end of this line? What exactly are you building? I don't know. I just know that this goes here and something else happens, and it's a car when all is said and done.
I am way too far up the line to have any clue what I am working towards right now.
But hey, if you do one thing and do it well, then the output will take care of itself. So let's see. The late Colin Cooper, lead singer of the Climax Blues Band, was born this day in 1939.
This ride got to roll, so I hit the road and made my getaway.
Other birthdays today include Joy Behar from The View is 83 years old today. And happy birthday to Vladimir Putin, the Russian dictator. Says here he's 73 years old today. Wait a minute. I've just been handed this note threatening to throw me out a hotel window if I don't say happy birthday. Vladimir Putin, 39 years old today. Happy birthday, Vlad. You don't look a day older than your actual 73. But anyway, do you suppose that Donald Trump sends the same kind of birthday card to him like he did to Jeffrey Epstein?
Oh, I mean...
Who knows what those notes look like, you know?
Hard to say.
Let's see. In music history, it was on this day. It was 30 years ago today that Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill reached the top of the album chart. It would give the record label Maverick, which was founded by Madonna, its first number one album from Alanis Morissette.
Wait a minute, we've already heard this. Why am I listening to this again?
What do you mean?
I swear we've had this song in the time I've worked here already.
Well, that's possible. It might have been about the single rather than the album. It might have been her birthday. You know, we do a broad variety of things here. Sometimes I try really hard to make sure that songs don't repeat themselves at least, you know, too close to one another.
Yeah.
There's some detailed notes in this 365-page Word document I put together over the years on these birthdays, but now I got to go back and I got to see what other Alanis Morissette songs have I put on the calendar and make changes accordingly. So thank you for bringing it to my attention.
I'm sorry. I just remember I don't like this song.
Well, that was certainly one way of putting it. Oh, you're playing the song again.
Okay. Do I stress you out? Yes. Yes, you do.
Apparently it does for you. It very much so. The one that stresses me out is ironic off of there, because a lot of the things in the song aren't ironic. They're just bad things that happen that day. But not this particular song, but I will do all I can to make sure that All I Really Want is not heard in this history segment anymore, because Parker Olson
I give you
does
one
not
year.
Like this song.
One year.
Okay, 1 year. Okay. Tune in next October 7th when Alanis Morissette celebrates 31 years of Jagged Little Pill being at the top of the album charts. The most lopsided college football game in American history took place this day in 1916 when Georgia Tech upset Cumberland University. It probably wasn't much of an upset. The final score, Georgia Tech 222, Cumberland University nothing. How much did they hate somebody at Cumberland University? Maybe the coach was mouthing off, quarterback, somebody, that you don't call off the dogs.
You know,
and you run up 222 points on the other team.
I kind of respect that. In a way.
Oh, really?
A little bit. Because, you know, it was 1916. You're like, you must have been really angry at somebody, because you weren't, it wasn't social media. They must have actually said something to you, like right there.
We're going to prove how tough we are. And they did. They followed it up. So good on them. Here's another number one album. It was from this day in 1989. The album was Forever Your Girl, and the singer was Paula Abdul.
You like the movies and I like TV.
Now, some albums, they climb up the chart rather quickly once released. Some debut at or near the top of the charts. This one back in 1989 took a little bit longer. It took 64 weeks from the time it was released to hit the top of the album chart. I believe that is still the record for the longest climb to the top of the album chart from when an album was released. And that just tells me that, yeah, just little bit by little bit, as these singles were released and played on the radio, eventually people were like, yeah, I should probably get that album.
I suppose. I wonder what happened during those 64 weeks. Was she still turning out music? And she was still like, hey, you should really listen to that one, though.
Maybe doing the album promotion tour ever so slowly and just grinding away at it. I don't know, but she finally made it work for her. Let's see, on this day in 1986, The Police released their final single. She's waiting, his car is warm and dry. Don't stand so close to me. So this was the final single, Don't Stand So Close to Me. It came off a greatest hits album that came out in 1986. The group had actually broken up 2 years earlier, at the height of their fame. But Sting began to pursue a solo career, and they tried to get the band back together once or twice in the studio and said, you know, it's just not there anymore. And so except for a few reunion appearances, they were done. Pretty much at the height of their fame, and their last single was released this day in 1986. And another birthday to pass along. A recording date. It was on this day in 1939. That 16-year-old Judy Garland stepped into a recording studio and did this little bit of music immortality. Garland recording that song on this day in 1939. As often happens in the history lesson, not everything is entertaining or featurey, but certainly worthy of mention. It was on this day in 2001 that the U.S. began its invasion of Afghanistan with an air assault and covert operation on the ground, which would start the longest war in American history. The Fox, quote-unquote, news channel began broadcasting this day in 1996. And in national news today, you no doubt will be hearing about today marking the second anniversary of the terrorist group Hamas and other Palestinian militant groups launching an attack into Israel, which resulted in the deaths of around 1,200, mostly civilians, the taking of more than 200 hostages, including civilians and soldiers. And so far in the resulting war, at least 67,000 Palestinians have been killed as well. So some of the history notes from today. The National Day Calendar, Parker is the steward of that, and we'll take a look at what do we have for national days today.
It's pretty light on the National Day Calendar, but it is National Fruit at Work Day, Pat. Do you have
Fruit at Work Day?
Fruit at Work Day. I wish I was aware of this before I made my lunch.
Look, there's no National Bring Fish to Work Day and Warm It Up in the Microwave. Fruit is a lot less annoying. You get your little, container of grapes, or you bring along, your orange slices. Hey, that's all fine.
It's a big month for apples.
And it is a big month. Yes, it is. Funny that you should say that. Sheila Everhart will be along with Hans Breit and Moser coming up in our next hour to talk all about how about them apples.
How about
and what
them?
You can do with them around Wisconsin. What else we got for the National Day Calendar?
It is National Frappe Day, which is about as close as I will get to getting a coffee, frankly. When I go to Starbucks.
I know I see that on drink menus, but is that basically, is that just iced coffee? Is that kind of it?
I really don't know.
Let me look it up here. It's a Greek iced coffee drink, according to Wikipedia, so it must be true. Made by shaking instant coffee, sugar, and a splash of cold water to create a thick foam, which is then served with cold water or milk over ice. It is sometimes confused with a blended ice cream-based drink like Frappuccino, but the original Greek frappe is not blended, but vigorously shaken to achieve its characteristic foamy texture.
I see.
And now you know. Yeah. Little instant coffee. As if drinking regular coffee were not abhorrent enough of a thought for Parker. It's the notion of, here, let's put some instant coffee on ice and put in some water or milk, shake it vigorously, and get you a foam. Really not. I'm not selling it at all, am I here?
Whatever. I'm not, I'm sticking my water,
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Okay.
That's
all right. I will not annoy you about that any longer. Please forgive me. I want you to be happy.
Oh, well, that's
what
good.
Else is on the calendar today?
Oh, it's Forgiveness and Happiness Day, Pat.
Oh, well, how appropriate for me.
How in the spirit?
Forgiveness and Happiness Day.
Yeah, one day. That's one thing. I don't know why that's one thing.
Actually, there is no single calendar that, only one person decides what's here and what's not. I mean, like I've said before, there have to be 20 different variations of National Dog Day or Pet Your Dog Day or Happy Dog Day. And the same goes for things like this. Forgiveness and Happiness Day. I don't know what prompted this particular October 7th Forgiveness and Happiness Day, but somebody said, hey, we've got to put this on here.
Somebody was feeling a little down and they wanted to pick up their friend.
Yes, I hope so. So again, find yourself somebody to forgive and to make them happy today. Still ahead, as I mentioned, we are going to be talking to Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association about Wisconsin apples and its many varieties and how you can enjoy picking your own out there across Wisconsin's orchards. Hans Breiten of Moser will talk to us about ag issues as well, including bailing out farmers. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Beyond the rainbow, why, oh, why can
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving, and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS News, and today I'm joined by Oshkosh Fire Chief Tim Hyman. Hi, Tim. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
This week is Fire Prevention Week. I know that the National Fire Prevention Association was all focused on lithium-ion batteries, and I wanted to ask you, is that really a problem for, say, the average household?
Yeah, that's kind of our focus. Each year, the organizations that kind of put on Fire Safety Week pick a specific area that's become a problem. And based on data that's collected from fire departments throughout the country, they found that lithium-ion batteries are one of the fastest-growing causes of fire that we have today.
They are so prevalent. I mean, a lithium-ion battery is in everything nowadays, from your cell phone to your smart speaker, to just random pieces of electronics.
Yeah, there's definitely been, in probably the last 5 years, a proliferation of the use of battery-operated or battery-powered things, everything from a lawnmower to a car to your smartphone. So we are seeing that much more and more is that the lithium-ion battery. It's probably the best battery technology we have right now as far as powering items for length and also through hot or cold conditions. So that's why they're very popular right now.
So what is making them an object of fire risk?
Sure. So basically a lithium-ion battery consists of single or multi lithium-ion cells, and it kind of has a protective circuit board. They do have a high potential to overheat and catch fire. And that's usually due to either overcharging or completely draining it. Higher low temperatures, we see high temperatures. So if you're charging your battery in your garage and maybe it's next to a window and the sun's beating there in the middle of the summer, those high temperatures can cause some malfunctioning, internal short circuiting. But basically any damage to that battery can cause what we call a thermal runaway, where basically that battery starts to self-heat, has a reaction, and despite whatever actions we may take, like putting water on it, doesn't really stop that thermal runaway, and it keeps heating and heating and heating, and basically there's an explosion or fire that can result.
Yikes. So what do people in their homes need to do just to be safe and prevent possible fires from this?
Yeah, great question. One of the things that we use as a mnemonic is charge. So those are kind of some of the things that we want you to look at. So the first is to choose a certified product. There are several batteries, maybe from other countries, that are imported that don't meet the rigorous testing that batteries need to meet to make sure they're safe. So UL, Underwriters Laboratory, is a great organization that tests a lot of things. So make sure that the battery is UL listed. That'll let you know that both the internal and external components have met the specifications to be deemed more safe. We never say anything is totally safe, but more safe. The second is H, handle the batteries with care. So follow the manufacturer's instructions. If you would drop the battery or something, make sure you inspect it for damage, that the outer case is intact, especially with things that maybe get a little rougher usage. One of the biggest issues they're seeing is with e-bikes. So the batteries that are used for those. Always stay alert for warning signs. So look for damage, swelling, punctures, overheating, causing the plastic to change shape or color are some of the other things that we look for. Recycle them properly. So that's another big one. So obviously damage to the battery is one of the things that can cause trouble. So if you think about putting that in a trash compactor or something like that, that can be problematic as well. And really get out quickly if there's a fire. If you go online, there's several resources that show lithium ion battery fires, and it's a very violent reaction. So if you think of people like apartments, you bring your e-bike to work and you come home, you maybe park your e-bike right next to the front door, your exit path or egress path. We want to make sure that if you see any smoking, you smell anything, hear any popping, make sure you're getting out right away, because we don't want that to block your egress path.
Okay.
And then just basic last one is educate others on safe practices. So what you're doing right here, like you said, that they're everywhere. And not to say that 99% of them aren't operating properly and safely. We just want to make sure when there are those warning signs that people are aware.
When you leave a phone on charge, sometimes you can feel that it's getting way too hot.
Yep.
As you said, overcharging can be just as bad for your phone or for a device.
Yes. Yep. So some of the things that really easy homeowner things that you can look at doing is they make commercially made receptacles where you can put your charger when the battery's on it and it's charging. That's either metal or something like that. Kind of the do-it-yourself or clay flower pots are another one where people will put the charger and the battery in there, especially if you're in a garage or somewhere that's maybe not as monitored. Not leaving the battery on the charger all the time, which is a tough thing to do because you want the battery charged when you want to use it. But once it's charged, cycling it off of the charger is another thing that we look at.
And one more thing I want to mention before I let you go, or want to ask about. You mentioned recycling properly. I think this also is disposal properly.
Correct. So if you're going to get rid of a battery, go online, look for either a disposal contractor. There's several e-recyclers that will take those batteries. I believe Winnebago County, their waste management site, would also have a resource for disposing of those. But we don't want to just throw those in the garbage with everything else. We want to make sure that we're disposing them in the proper way so that we don't start a garbage truck on fire or a landfill or something like that.
Is there anything else about Fire Prevention Week, fire prevention in general, or lithium ions that you'd like to mention that we haven't touched on?
So the last plug I'm going to give is for smoke detectors. I know it's maybe not the week for smoke detectors, but I cannot stress how important those are. And based on real life outcomes where we show up, and if you have working smoke detectors that have alerted you to get out, versus the homes we go to that don't have working smoke detectors. We see dramatically different outcomes. So making sure your detector works, making sure it's functioning properly, taking down and looking at the expiration date to see if it needs to be changed. Just super, super important that we have working smoke detectors. That's one of the best and easiest ways that we can change the outcome of a terrible
event. Tim Hyman, Oshkosh Fire Chief, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Lisa Hale, Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief for WISS News.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Peace talks between Israel and Hamas are resuming at an Egyptian resort city on this, the two-year anniversary of the militant group's surprise attack that triggered the bloody conflict. A federal judge blocking the Trump administration's efforts to send National Guard troops to Portland, Illinois, and Chicago, suing to stop the Guard from coming to that state. However, says ABC's Peter Haralambos,
it's a bit of a tightrope in terms of what a city can actually do to impede federal law enforcement and the National Guard, and what the Trump administration will theoretically do in response. On Monday afternoon, President Trump was asked about this, and he suggested that he might even invoke the Insurrection Act if cities across the country continue to push back against his work.
The government shutdown drags on. No new talks are scheduled on ending it. It's starting to affect the nation's airports, where flight attendants have been calling in sick. They're among the hundreds of thousands of workers furloughed during the stalemate. Actually, air traffic controllers. This is ABC News.
You're